Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2020 with the release date of Friday, July 15th, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Breaking news. Amateur Electronics Supply Milwaukee location is reopening as a ham radio outlet. American Indian tribes prepare for an emergency earthquake drill. Hams celebrate U.S. Route 52 with what else? A mobile station. And Portugal hams get a mountaintop repeater. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2020, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
We begin this week with an announcement that the Milwaukee location of Amateur Electronic Supply is reopening as the newest ham radio outlet. We hear more from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
U.S. amateur radio operators were shocked last week to hear the news that Amateur Electronic Supply had decided to close its doors at the end of July after 59 years in business. Many were equally surprised, however, to hear the news midweek that Ham Radio Outlet had come to an agreement to purchase the Milwaukee store and to take on many of AES's employees. According to Steve Gilmore, W4SHG, National Sales Manager for HRO, the decision to discuss acquisition of some AES personnel was made as soon as the news broke that they were going to close at the end of July. The most important thing to us was to acquire that knowledge and experience in customer service, said Gilmore. Gilmore said that they had approval of AES's senior management to conduct the interviews. And while they were on site in Milwaukee, they came to the conclusion that having a centralized location would not only serve an area where they had previously no presence, but would also allow them to have much quicker shipping times to more of the country. That brought about the agreement to purchase the facility after the end of the month. The company's plan is to completely remodel the Milwaukee store, at which time they believe that they will have the largest physical amateur radio store in the country, possibly the world, with merchandise from every major manufacturer in the field. It's a big job, Gilmore said, since they are also relocating their Portland, Oregon location to a newer and much larger facility at the same time. The logistics of relocating a lot of personnel and merchandise are challenging, but, he added, they're up to the challenge. Once both locations are finished, they plan on having month-long grand opening celebrations in both cities. Dates and details will be announced at a later date. When I asked Gilmore about the other AES locations, he said that, mathematically, the Milwaukee location was the only one that made sense right now. He stated that the decisions are made based on customer population density and also tax rates. Ham Radio Outlet has been in business since 1971 and currently has 13 locations across the United States. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana.
Emergency preparedness is important no matter where you are, but it's even more critical for American Indians living on often remote tribal lands. There's an emergency drill coming up for the tribes, and organizers need your help. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, with more.
The National Tribal Emergency Management Council and the National Tribal Amateur Radio Association are calling Wednesday, September 21st, the day of the quake. And they're hoping to get some of the ham radio stations in American Indian Country involved in an important exercise that day. Working with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the groups will collaborate on an emergency communications drill, passing messages from the Tachi Nation in Lemoore, California, to New York about a simulated West Coast earthquake and its aftermath, a well-scripted scenario which will include a building collapse, evacuations, and a search and rescue operation for those missing. For the exercise to work best, however, it will need the involvement of amateur radio relay stations, and in this case, the relays should be stations based in tribal communities or tribal members who are hams wanting to participate. The involvement of hams in Indian Country is a key component of this drill. Any tribal amateur radio clubs or individuals within tribal communities wanting a role in this event should contact Nathan Nixon at nathan.nixon@itcaonline.com for details. The day of the quake will be here before you know it. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, in Bloomington, Indiana.
Special event station W4A started in South Carolina earlier this month, but is really going places. You can find those places throughout July along historic U.S. Route 52. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3, TZD, has this story about the ham's 2,000-mile journey.
U.S. Route 52 has been called America's other great highway, and in many ways, the route has been greatly eclipsed by its more famous and perhaps more romantic east-west counterpart, Route 66. Still, this lesser-known route has much to celebrate, too, along its more than 2,000 miles between Portal, North Dakota on the Saskatchewan border and White Point Gardens in Charleston, South Carolina. What better way to celebrate its 90th anniversary than with amateur radio, which pays similar homage along historic Route 66. This year, the mobile celebration of Route 52 began on July 7th and is now continuing west, traveling through 84 counties and 11 states, working CW and SSB. The party goes on until July 22nd. Hams who work the station in a minimum of 3 states or in at least 10 counties can earn a certificate. Working 7 through 11 states earns special recognition, as does working 20 or more counties, up to the full 84. There's a special QSL card in addition to the certificates. Listen for the call sign W4A. The party goers will be running about 400 watts as they move east to west in their pickup truck and then again on the return trip. For more details, visit the W4A page on QRZ.com. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Storm preparedness means more than just stocking up the fridge and keeping batteries in the flashlights. For hams, preparedness comes from education, and the ARRL is providing that later this month as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
Storm season is upon us, and if last year's hurricane season can be considered history, then the ARRL webinar on Thursday, July 21st, might be considered a history lesson. The 90-minute program is a guide to preparing for this year's Atlantic hurricane season and emergency response. It will include a look back at the roles amateur radio played during last year's season. The overview will touch on the Hurricane WatchNet, the Voice over Internet Protocol Hurricane Net, the Canadian Hurricane Center, and the ARRL's coordination. Registration is open. If you have questions, contact Mike Corey, KI1U, the ARRL's Emergency Preparedness Manager, at mcorey@arrl.org. That's mcorey@arrl.org. If you plan to register, do it now. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Spark Club repeater for the Sportsman Paradise Amateur Radio Club, K4WAK in Wakulla County, Florida, in time for the Friday afternoon commute. If it's heights you're after for your new repeater, look to the highest mountain. That's what a group of hams did in Portugal. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
The highest mountain in Portugal has gained another distinction thanks to some ambitious amateur radio operators there. Members of the Azores Amateur Radio Union, or URA, have assembled and installed a crossband repeater on Mount Pico in Pico Island, west of the Portuguese mainland. It is designed to work crossband on 144.550 MHz and 439.550 MHz. The call sign for the station is Charlie Quebec 1, Echo Papa, India X-Ray. It's been a long way up for the two ambitious amateurs, Paulo Gomes, Charlie Romeo 8, Alpha Bravo India, and Antonio Paz, Charlie Uniform 3, Alpha Juliet. The challenging radio work began with an especially challenging ascent on Saturday, July the 2nd. The mountain rises 2,351 metres, or 7,713 feet, above the North Atlantic Ocean. They were clearly in the air before getting on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
Where would we be without Nikola Tesla? Well, for one thing, we might not be on the air. Things would surely be very different without the work of the 20th century inventor, who was born 160 years ago in Croatia. It seems only fitting, then, that the weekends of July and August be devoted to honoring him in the venue that suits his memory best, radio. The Union Day Radio Clubs at Radio Amateurs F8URC is using the special call sign TM160NT for just that purpose. Nikola Tesla, who died in 1943, might appreciate the inventiveness of that. An amateur radio club in the UK has helped fulfill a radio enthusiast's dying wish to benefit charity. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
As any amateur knows, the power of radio to accomplish great things doesn't end when the set is switched off. That was certainly no secret to Adrian Aylward of Highclere. Although Adrian wasn't a ham himself, his love of radio and electronics in general made him a kindred spirit to amateurs. Diagnosed 2 years ago with cancer, Adrian died last April, expressing the wish that the electronics equipment, and certainly the radios he used for so much enjoyable listening, might go to benefit others. His family contacted the Newbury and District Amateur Radio Society, which helped fulfil Adrian's final wishes. The equipment was sold through a silent auction amongst club members, with the remaining unsold items offered for purchase in June at the Newbury Radio Rally. Adrian finally got his wish. The equipment found the good homes he'd hoped for, and the sales generated a gift of £1,000 to be given to Cancer Research UK. A portion of the money raised also went to the Newbury Club. Jonathan Smithers, representing Adrian's family, said, "Adrian would have been happy that we have helped to improve the lives of those still living with cancer and also encourage those with a curiosity about what can be achieved through electronics." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH in Nottingham in the UK.
Hams from the Kempton Park Amateur Radio Technical Society are asking for a radio check. Sort of. The club, which uses the call sign ZS6KTS, has just launched a new website and is looking for feedback. They're inviting amateurs from everywhere to visit them, read about their activities, or post a comment. The club operates repeaters on 2 meters and 70 centimeters and is also active on Echolake node 8041. Visit their website at zs6kts.co.za. In the world of DXB, listening for a number of stations working during the Radio Society of Great Britain's IOTA contest, July 30th and 31st. They include Tybor OM3RM working as IS0/OM8A from Sardinia as a single op, all band, high power entry. Send QSL cards via OM2VL. There is also Joe IT9RZU who will be active from Sicily Island during the contest as a single op, all band, low power entry. Send QSLs via his home call sign by the Bureau or Logbook of the World. Mike, IF9ZWA, will be active from Favagnana Island during the contest as a single-op entry. QSLs should be sent via his home call sign by the Bureau only. And finally, Theodoros, SV1EJD, will be active in the contest as well, but will also be working as SV8/SV1EJD from Syros Island between July 23rd and August 11th. Listen for him on 80 to 6 meters where he'll be using SSB and RIDI, QSL via his home call sign or Logbook of the World. And finally, we close this week's report with a look at Mars. Ham radio operators will especially enjoy knowing about the surprise the Red Planet held recently through the lens of NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. Here's that story from Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Lest any detractors of Morse code hold firm in their belief that there is nothing at all natural about Samuel Morse's form of telegraphy, well, think again. CW apparently is as natural as the universe itself. In fact, scientists have recently discovered dots and dashes growing in the wild. That's right, in the wild. Organically grown code. It's not even cultivated with a paddle or a straight key. The messages were spotted recently on Mars by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, carved into the dark dunes of a field lying just below the North Pole. Were Martians perhaps having their own version of Field Day? Were the hams there trying for their Worked All Planets award? Well, geophysicists do have an explanation, as scientists often do. In a press release, the agency explained the patterns that sculptured the sand in such a meaningful way. Bidirectional winds are what caused the long dashes, and the dots? Well, Those are still something of a mystery, though they have a name, Barshanoid Dunes. The decoded message turns out to be sheer nonsense, well, at least for we Earthlings. It begins with the phrase Ninad ZB6TNN and so forth. What does it all mean? Good question. We'll keep our ears tuned to the sky. Perhaps the orbiter may next happen upon some hams in the dunes engaged in single sideband or another kind of Mars code. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, Amateur Radio Europe, CQ Magazine, Gizmodo, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Kempton Park Amateur Radio Society, NASA, Newbury Today Newspaper, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, The Province Newspaper, QRZ, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, NAWB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016. All rights reserved.